Eric Roberts, and Eric Bailey.
Can you hear me? Oh, we're off to a fantastic start on today's show. Rick, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I heard you earlier when you asked, too.
Yeah, well, apparently the switchboard didn't want to give your microphone the opportunity to let you speak back to me. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is March the 20th, oh, I'm off to a fantabulous start here, 2017. This is the next to last or the penultimate edition of Monday Night Raw and of the Raw Reaction before WrestleMania 33. I'm Harry Broadhurst. That's Rick Balin. Is Tony using a different number today?
I don't know.
Tony, do you have a different number now?
No, I'm just a fan.
Okay, hold on one second. We'll get to you in one moment, all right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, then Tony hasn't called in. There's Mr. Acero. Ah, one of these kind of days. All right, Tony, did I hit your mic? Are you good?
You know this.
Yeah.
All right. The Down Since Day One co-host Tony Acero, I'm Harry Broadhurst. Rick Balin back with us here. Gentlemen, how was your weekend? You guys talked amongst yourselves while I screen a call.
What up, Rick? I miss you.
Yeah, man. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well.
Cool. I got my desk set up. I got my house in order. I am ready for WrestleMania.
Your wife pregnant again yet?
No, not yet. I think I need at least one for every month. So I have to work on getting 12 in there, and I can't have any duplicates. If I do, I failed.
Right. So you can have your own little battle royal.
Yeah. I'm going to set up a ring in the backyard. This will be my next construction project.
Fucking beautiful. So what are you going to do for Mania? Watch it at home? Go to a bar?
No, I'll probably just watch it at the house, have some people over.
Nice.
All right, Tony, I'm amending the format a little bit for this evening.
Yeah, whatever.
We have a caller who wants to talk about something specific, so I'm going to go ahead and get to him immediately here. We're going to open our show tonight with conversation of tonight's episode of The Highlight Reel and the interaction between Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. For those of you who had the chance to watch Raw, you obviously know what happened. For those of you who didn't and are listening to us to find out what you missed tonight, Chris Jericho promised to introduce us to the real Kevin Owens this evening, and he showed a picture that has been shared before on Twitter of Kevin Owens in his basement, surrounded by posters, some of wrestling, some not of wrestling. I'm going to not touch that one, leave that one to its own devices, given what recently happened. And wearing a Chris Jericho t-shirt doing the Y2J pose. Chris from New York wants to discuss the Jericho Owens angle as well as what happened tonight on Raw. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
What's going on, man? What are you talking
about? The segment I thought was pretty good. It furthered this feud a lot better than the recent weeks have. I wanted to know what you guys thought about Jericho pulling up those pictures and some of the shots he threw at KO, because I thought they were kind of it didn't seem like there was any anger behind that. It just seems like he was out there trying to have fun. And given that Jericho is, he's kind of, you know, like kind of like a jobber at this point in his career, you would think he'd be a little bit more fiery in these types of things. What do you guys think of that segment?
You know what, for a process I actually had is I watched it and I wanted to share this with the guys as well, so I'm going to go ahead and lead off with this here. Do you remember the Jericho Michaels match from WrestleMania 19 of the whole storyline of Jericho getting to wrestle his idol?
Yes.
It kind of seems like this right here is that full circle thing for Jericho, whereas Jericho got to wrestle his idol at a WrestleMania in Michaels, and now Owens is getting to wrestle somebody that he looked up to when he was just getting into wrestling in Chris Jericho. I genuinely think that there's, obviously, with everything that happened at the Festival and Friendship, they want us to believe that they hate each other, yada, 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 storyline. But I think there is a certain level of respect between Jericho and Owens, and specifically the second photo that Jericho showed tonight of Owens DMing Jericho on Twitter and asking for his advice as he signed with the company there. I think that there is an actual level of mutual respect between the two people involved in this storyline there. So it's kind of hard to get that actual I hate you heat here because neither one of them really has that kind of feeling of animosity towards each other, despite what you would want them to believe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess I can see it that way. I guess I can understand that. It's just
Tony, what are your thoughts on the Jericho Kevin Owens angle?
Well, I'm of the mind that if you go out with a scathing promo that basically insults your opponent, it's not nearly as impactful as what Jericho did tonight, where in some ways he kind of embarrassed Kevin Owens more so than insulted him. And I think that's exactly what Jericho was trying to do. It is interesting to see that there is a little bit of a lack of violence on Jericho's part, but at the same time, when he's a face, the attack, you know, Jericho is an old school face, wherein when he's a face, he's a face. I mean, he's already pandering to the crowd. He's already changed his shtick to go with the crowd participation. So he's not like Reigns where he's a face, but he does whatever the hell he wants. You know, he's a face, so he goes by it, which is why he wasn't the attacker tonight. He was the attackee. With regards to the promo specifically, it just, again, it was more of a cocky, arrogant guy saying, look, you looked up to me, so I already won. You want to do this? We'll do it. But you're the one. I'm the one that has the upper hand. So by all means, meet me at WrestleMania.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. That's all, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for calling.
I for one
like it when they use, you know, real aspects and incorporate it into the storylines. You know, that was a real picture of Kevin Owens' past, and I thought it was really fun to see, and, you know, a good tool for Jericho to use as far as, like, embarrassing him, showing him, you know, this isn't, like, the badass that we think Kevin Owens is. It's just a fan that grew up watching the show. And I also appreciated the like little side conversation, the PM on Twitter, because, you know, that is probably, you know, real as well, undoctored, and it shows that Kevin Owens was like unsure of himself at first. You know, he needed a little confidence booster from someone he looked up to, and that says a lot about the two of them and where they're at in their careers at that time. And it does push forward the storyline a little bit that, you know, I never really realized how much of a fan Owens was of Jericho. But now it kind of shows that, man, this is a guy he really did look up to as an idol, as a hero, and now he gets to face him at WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know. Go ahead, Harry.
Do you guys put any credence into my theory about the Jericho Michaels angle there? How this is kind of that whole thing coming full circle with a guy facing somebody he looked up to at WrestleMania?
I mean, I wouldn't say full circle as much as using a very well well-used trope in wrestling. We've seen it quite a few times, so. And I don't think this is Jericho's last hoorah, so. But, yeah, there are a lot of similarities. There's a lot of – I mean, I actually just watched that match a couple days ago and the few moments leading up to it. So there are a lot of parallels, and it is cool to
know. Are you making your way through all the WrestleManias again, Tony?
Stay tuned to 411mania.com to see exactly what I'm doing.
Since we've heard that on here.
Man, it certainly has been a while since you've heard it on there, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's all hands on deck this time of the year. What up, Jimmy C?
It's the world fat ass champion of the world.
Oh my God, the Batman.
I've returned in WrestleMania season.
Jimmy, you'd be happy.
What's going on, Jimmy?
That I'm tearing into a fat double patty cheeseburger with bacon and fries in the burger.
Please take a picture of it and send it to me.
All right. Doing that now.
Jimmy sees all about that other kind of porn, that food porn.
I'm not into that whole. And yeah, I'm not even going to get into that. Whatever. That's a whole other.
No, we're going to take the high road on that one. I got a question for you, Jimmy C. What are the odds that we can expect you for next week for our WrestleMania preview edition?
As long as I'm awake. I've been going to bed much earlier these days, so. But I figured it was WrestleMania season and the Raw reaction needed me. I'm not the hero you deserve.
So anything in particular you wanted to touch on from tonight, man?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm just here to roll heads and, you know, surprise people.
Let me ask you a question, Jimmy. Tonight we saw Sheamus and Cesaro take on Enzo and Cass.
Man, do not know.
And Anderson and Gallows. And if they were to lose, they would be disqualified. They would no longer be in the WrestleMania match. Now, the match starts. And Gallows and Anderson, the first thing they do is they attack
Enzo and Cass.
Now, tell me, how important do you think that decision was?
Man, you know, I'm one of those guys that I believe that if you are booked to face someone at the pay-per-view, you should not be even touching them. Within, you know, 3 weeks of the pay-per-view, he should not be in a match with them. I don't believe in splitting up tag teams and having them in singles competition leading up to the pay-per-view. You guys have more than enough people on a roster to throw some random person in there and have a match with. That being said, I thought the plot device was terrible. They're just trying to keep whatever heat there is between Enzo and Cass and Gallows and Anderson alive, which they didn't really need to do because it's still there. There wasn't any extinguishing of that. But they felt the need to do that and make the tag team match all of, you know, 30 seconds or 60 seconds. Although I do love that heart attack, rope kick combo that they do as a finish. I am a very huge fan of that. So, yeah, that was terrible.
Thanks for stepping all over Harry's hit, Tony. I appreciate it.
Is there anything else Harry wanted to talk about? I could step all over.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
Rick!
I don't know. It bothers me that they put so much time into that as they did to have a result like that. One thing I will say about tonight's show that will come as a surprise to everyone was it I feel like they are moving in the right direction with Dana Brooke. And I know you'll probably talk about that down the road. I'm on the show tonight, well after I've hung up. But I feel like they're doing the right thing with her.
I think it's well overdue. And, you know, she's already an athlete. She's already a bodybuilder. It's about time that she broke away from the shadow that she's been in.
So, I dig it.
Well, we're going to touch on the Dana Brooke and Charlotte match inside of the Raw recap section, because we have a couple other major storylines that we were planning on focusing on for tonight's Let's Talk About Raw segments. We actually just hit one of our Let's Talk About Raw segments here, and before you get out of here, I want to get one last thought on you on this one here. What are your thoughts on the Jericho-Owens segment from tonight, real quick?
The Jericho-Owens storyline is the only one that I'm genuinely interested in heading into WrestleMania.
Okay.
The segment tonight, I enjoyed. You know, it made me giggle, made me kind of reflect a little bit. And go, oh, yeah, you know, I've been there. I have a bunch of gimmick shirts and in the bedroom, in the dresser, and I, you know, I've got a poster here or there somewhere in this house that I have to dig up. But, I mean, I don't think it did any harm like they thought it might have. To Owens, I don't think it helped Jericho. I think it just kind of played to Jericho's character really well, because he's that confident, now snarky kind of guy. He's got the fans behind him, so he could pull some random bullshit like this and get away with it. The fans will still, you know, drop their pants for him. So,
yeah, I would make the argument that Jericho's probably one of the very few people on the roster who could do a segment like this. It's, let's be honest here, kind of cliche, kind of, let's be honest, a little cheesy even, and not lose any kind of support from either the audience at home or the audience in the crowd, just because he has that much built-up goodwill towards him through all the work that he's done with the company over the years.
I suppose I can agree with that.
All right, man. Thanks for stopping by. It was good to hear from you.
Of course, of course. It's always good to stop in. I may be back next week.
As I was going to say, we want all hands on deck next week for our WrestleMania prediction special, so we look forward to hearing from you, Jimmy.
Well, I was happy to stop in. Always good to hear from Rick and Tony.
I hear from you enough as it is, so I don't really miss that.
All right, Jimmy, see you. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Take care, guys.
Harry, do you want to do your hit?
I told you guys. Fuck you, Pony. No, and in all seriousness, I do actually kind of want to touch along that there. It's like Rick was calling in again, and people are stepping all over my shtick. Jeez, remember when you used to do that to me all the time?
Yeah.
Anyways. No, in all seriousness, I do want to discuss the tag team situation here, and I want to kind of discuss the fact that I think Enzo and Cass were actually kind of smart about this here. I think once the club decided to get the jump on Enzo and Cass there, they pretty much left the club to their own devices when it came to the match itself and let Sheamus and Cesaro beat them down. The issue that I have with that there is that you have your tag team champions getting beaten in about 2 minutes. Not that these tag team champions really have any kind of credibility with most of the roster, with most of the fans anyway, but it is still your Raw tag team champions. I'd appreciate some semblance of respect for the titles. Tony, your thoughts?
This was one of two matches wherein the champion or champions looked bad for the sake of a match in the future, which is just really, really bad booking and just lazy, to be honest with you. You do it twice in one show. Or a variation of, and no one comes out looking good. No one in that match came out looking good. No one. Maybe Sheamus and Cesaro, maybe. But of course, they got, you know, put into the match by Stephanie, and that is a whole other issue that I had with the show tonight, where we went back
and
in time.
And lady balls?
Yeah, well, where we went back in time, seemingly, where Triple H and Stephanie are out to make horrible matches, against anyone that does not side with them. I mean, we've seen that before, and they're just not in that same role, so I don't get why it happened. And it's just really annoying. But no, with regards to the tag team match itself, it was hardly a match. And yeah, it's just very dumb of Gallows and Anderson to just attack their partners right away. Even if they claim they can do it on their own, that just didn't make any sense. Similar to Sasha and Charlotte watching Bayley lose to allow someone else in their match.
Well, we'll segue that right into the Cajun Corner here in 1 second. But the other thing that I want to say in regards to what you just said there, too, is, and in what universe does it not make sense for Anderson and Gallows to put their differences with Enzo with cast aside for one night to get Sheamus and Cesaro removed from the match at WrestleMania and make it a straight-up 2-on-2 tag match?
I mean, we've seen tag teams where you don't even put differences aside. You just don't attack the team that you're with immediately in the offset of the match.
So now the tag
Rick, your thoughts on the tag?
Well, they don't. Not only do they look bad because they lose so quickly to Sheamus and Cesaro, but they also look stupid. So they're dummies that can't even win a match, and they're the champions. You know, they're heels. The concept of a heel is the heel is your more intelligent wrestler, usually. They're the smart one. They know how to cheat and get away with it. They bend the rules. The faces are the ones that usually do stupid shit that gets them to lose the matches because they're trying to do everything the right way. So we got these heels characters that jump their partners, get in the ring, and then lose, and that are champions. And like you said, they already going into this as not very credible. You know, a lot of fans do not like Gallows and Anderson. I mean, I want to see Tex Ferguson and Chad Too Bad. That's who I would like to see. Show some of that personality on screen instead of this boring club thing they got with. They have no personality whatsoever.
I feel like, never mind, I was going to make a home video joke here, but I decided against it. Rick, why don't you go ahead and take us into the Cajun Corner?
Well, so like I was saying with the tag team champions, we have another champion, our women's champion, loses a match tonight against Nia Jax. And the stipulation is kind of similar. This time if Nia wins, she gets added to the triple threat women's title match at WrestleMania, and it becomes a fatal four-way. Bayley gets put in this match against Nia Jax because he showed some kind of compassion to Mick Foley while he was leaving the building after he got fired by Stephanie McMahon. She gave Foley a hug, and she gets punished for it. That was the theme of the show tonight, was Stephanie punishing anybody that even gave Foley a smile while he was on his way out the door. And Bayley is another champion that hasn't really been booked as a dominant champion. She does look like a fluke champion. All of her victories have come by the help of Sasha Banks, who's just trying to even the numbers, and Charlotte always had Dana with her. But this is another loss from Bayley, our champion, right before WrestleMania, and it adds a person that doesn't really need to be added, in my opinion, doesn't need to be added to this WrestleMania match for the women's title. I think it was perfect the way it was as a triple threat with Sasha Banks, Charlotte, and Bayley. Those three girls, that's, you know, three of the four horsewomen who made their name in NXT, minus Becky Lynch, who was on the SmackDown brand. But, you know, last year we had Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha, who are all called up together while Bayley still was holding it down in NXT. And they put on an incredible triple threat match at WrestleMania for the new women's title when it was just revealed. I think this year would have been a nice little callback. We'll have another triple threat with, you know, Bayley kind of being in place of Becky. And I think the chemistry between these three girls would have been better had Nia not been added. And I don't see what Nia adds what kind of dimension she adds to this matchup. You know, I think the dynamics with the three was already there. Placed in stone, we have the lovable champion, Bayley. Sasha, who's, you know, we're kind of waiting on a heel turn or some kind of, you know, if she's going to backstab Bayley or not, it's been a lot rumored. And Charlotte, our longstanding heel diva, queen of the division, and I don't think Nia should have been added.
See, I think Nia adds an element that the other three women don't have in this particular match, and I think the more important thing is that Nia has been intertwined with these three women for the better part of the last 4 months. So, to me, leaving her out of this title match didn't make sense. The fact that it took them this long to add her to this match is what I take issue with. Tony, what are your thoughts?
From a storyline purpose, I see no reason to add her other than she's, you know, another woman on the roster, and you want to, you know, she has been intertwined, but it's always been forced. Even her call-up was forced. Even her appearing was forced. And I can't say that she's all that good in the ring. So, like, from a backstage perspective, I don't see how she deserves the match either. Especially if you're looking for a quality female match. I mean, she has an integral part. She's going to be – it's going to be a good match either way. But it's more of a chance now to possibly look kind of sloppy. And you saw that tonight. And then you also have to realize that Bayley, I mean, just like Rick said, has not looked good, unfortunately. I mean, she's lost twice now to add more people to a match. And that, I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you're a champion, and every time she loses, another person gets added to the match. I mean, that just, it's not that it doesn't make sense to me from a viewer standpoint, but just from a writing, like, man, that you're making her look really bad. And, I mean, chances are she'll take the belt home at WrestleMania and be one of those good feel-good moments. But what about what happens after? You know, are we going to get the Sasha heel turn and then a program? I would like that, but I don't know. But anyways, back to Nia. I just don't, you know, this could be nothing but purely just personal taste. But I feel like if she wasn't in the match, it would be a better match than what we're going to get.
I don't disagree with that, Tony. I do think it'll be a better match without her, but at the same time, to me, storyline-wise anyway, given the fact that these four women have been pretty much intertwined since right around the Survivor Series, it makes storyline sense to me. So I can't argue with something that makes storyline sense to me, whereas regards to SmackDown, they have just all of the women thrown together in a random women's scramble match for the women's title over on SmackDown. All right, so I kind of adjusted the schedule for tonight's show a little bit due to the caller that we had, so I'm going to go ahead and let Tony take back over here with what was originally planned to be our opening Let's Talk About Raw. Tony, by all means, stage is yours.
Well, Michael Cole had a little interview in the middle of the ring with Triple H, and Triple H basically talked for a long time and then eventually thought better what he was saying, challenged Seth Rollins to a match at WrestleMania, but it will be unsanctioned. There will be a hold harmless agreement signed. Seth Rollins will not be able to sue the company due to what Triple H does to him. The storyline here is that Seth Rollins is, quote-unquote, unable to be medically cleared to wrestle at WrestleMania. So Triple H challenged him to a fight. Now, we've seen a match like this before. We've seen this storyline even where a wrestler is not medically cleared, but as long as they're signing a contract saying, you know, they're down, then it's going to happen. We're getting the match that we wanted. We're just doing it in a different way, and I'm okay with it. Triple H was on fire as usual. I do think that the transition from you're not going to be able to wrestle to, you know what, let's have a match and I'm going to beat your ass, I think that happened real too quickly. I feel like maybe he missed a line or a sentence or something because the transition was really weird. But the point is, we're getting the match that we wanted, and this is one of the better built matches of the year. The wrestling year, not the calendar year. So, I don't know. I'm pretty excited.
Rick, your thoughts?
Well, I said this last time when Triple H had a promo via satellite about the whole Seth Rollins situation. And it's just how good on the mic is Triple H these days? I mean, I could just hang on every word he says. I just love how he brought everything back around to the crowd, and even mentioned, which I said earlier was kind of the theme for the show, was Foley being fired, and he blamed the crowd on Foley's basically his demise. The reason why he looks the way he does, and the reason why he's losing an ear and walks with a hunchback and everything. It's all because Foley lives to satisfy this crowd. And, that's where Seth Rollins is going down the wrong path by trying to satisfy this crowd, and it's going to get him hurt. And I like the way Triple H incorporates other things that are going on in the show into his promos and makes it as a message to Seth Rollins that makes sense. When you look at it, Seth was Triple H's protege. He was the man. He was being groomed to be the man, and he started listening to the cheers, and look at him now. He might miss his second WrestleMania in a row due to a knee injury brought on by Triple H and the Destroyer. I think Triple H is he's really good on the mic. And he brings a lot of interest into this matchup he's going to have with Seth Rollins.
I think we knew it was coming to this. It's something that we've talked about for a while here on the show, about the whole Seth Rollins and Triple H thing eventually going to come to either a unsanctioned match or some kind of street fight or some kind of stipulated match here. So the end's justifying the means here, and we kind of saw this coming here. My question to you guys is this. What is your concern level for Seth Rollins for this match here? Do you think Seth is actually at a point where he's physically capable of going to the level that we expect from a Seth Rollins match, Tony?
Well, considering the fact that they wouldn't even let Daniel Bryan, be who he wants to be, considering how protective they are of the wrestlers in general, I do think that Seth is ready, and I think that once they found that out, they kind of just ran with it,
Rick, same question.
Well, I have to agree. I don't think that they would put him in harm's way if he wasn't 100%. And, I think there's always other venues they could go do and other effects and Plan B and I don't think that they would have the match if he wasn't ready. So I think he's ready to go. I think it's going to be a great Seth Rollins Triple H match. It's going to be a lot better than last year's Triple H Roman Reigns match. I can probably guarantee that.
Am I the only one of the three of us that actually didn't hate that match?
Probably.
Raw recap, let's get to it. Opening segment sees Mick Foley fired. Tony, who do you want as the new GM for Raw? Or commissioner, whatever the fuck Foley's position is called.
It doesn't really matter to me.
Sorry?
As long as they don't get too much focus and we don't have to deal with Stephanie, which unfortunately I'm sure we will.
Rick, same question.
Wait, what's Brad Maddox doing these days?
As I understand it, he's turned the page.
From what I hear, he's diving into film.
Amateur film, it's that.
Right.
That's more than I planned on doing with that, so we're moving on. Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe. Kind of a byproduct of our opening. Kind of a byproduct of our opening segment, but still inside of the Raw recap portion. So, Tony, why don't you give your thoughts here? I noticed you gave it 3.5 in your Raw report.
I really enjoyed the match. The only thing that I didn't enjoy was how unbelievable it was that Sammy, of all people, would be the one to come, be the voice of reason for Foley. The only reason why I didn't believe that, and this is where the reality that Stephanie McMahon really is hurting the wrestlers comes into play, because I think had she not done what she's been doing with Sammy, this would have been a little bit more believable. But you're sitting there thinking, like, well, Sammy, you're just not important enough to be in this role. And that's pretty sad. So I think that really bothered me. But but yeah, the match itself, I don't know, man. I thought it was really good. Joe was like, I don't know. I thought it was a good match. And I would like to see more from them. I think it was almost better than the pay-per-view match that they had.
I really liked the finish, too, with the counter of the Haluva kick into the ST Joe and then the Coquina clutch for the finish.
Yeah.
Rick, what did you think of the finish?
I like the way he rolled his eyes in the back of his head while he was holding that Coquina clutch.
Yeah.
Joe's on fire, dude. He's made it to the main roster. I don't even go as far as since he's made it to NXT, to WWE in general. I've always been a Joe fan, but I've seen him in some dry spells where he just wasn't motivated and he wasn't fun to watch anymore. But now that he's on fire right now, and you know his matches are all exciting, and I love a Samoa Joe match. Him and Sami Zayn tonight, that was an excellent matchup. It was really good. And props to those two.
Throughout the entire length of the show, we had video packages highlighting Goldberg and Brock Lesnar to set us up for their appearance on Raw next week, as well as the Universal title match at WrestleMania in 13 days. I still have no interest in this match. Am I the only one here?
It's not that I don't have interest. I am interested in seeing it. It's just I'm just really bitter that the title is even involved. Because at no point in these either video package was the title even mentioned, other than Goldberg saying maybe he had one more in him. This isn't about the title. It never was, and it's a waste of someone's opportunity, someone else having it. And I'm not even talking about Kevin Owens because he's doing just fine with Jericho. It's just the point is like this could have been anybody really, and it's not, and that's unfortunate.
I'm more interested in just seeing how they book the match, you know, really. I know I'm not going to be watching a five-star match. I'm not going to be looking at, you know, anything incredible, but it does interest me to see, okay, what are they actually going to do? Because I know Goldberg can't really wrestle longer than 3 minutes long. I don't expect another spear jackhammer in, you know. I don't know. I'm very interested and just watching how this match is going to go.
Charlotte and Dana Brooke. I have long advocated for Dana on this show that I feel like she has the potential to be a lot better than what she was when she was the second for Charlotte here. After tonight's match, I'm not so sure. That was garbage.
Well, welcome
Rick, your
to
thoughts.
The Smart House.
Did she forget?
I asked
like,
Rick for.
Huh?
I was going to say, I asked Rick for his thoughts first, Tony. Quiet, you.
You're just mad that I've been right about Dana Brooke.
I think she forgot.
Her first single.
At the end of this matchup, I think she forgot a spot or something. They looked really confused at the end, to where Charlotte just ended it with a big boot, which was kind of, you know, out of nowhere.
I rarely do this because I try to maintain my composure on this show, but that entire fucking match was a goddamn clusterfuck.
I don't like the way she moves in the ring. She just looks like a spaz. Like she just doesn't.
Well,
I don't know.
While I'm sure Tony's Raw thread was full of people discussing what happened over the weekend, I know that the Charlotte Dana match was a very popular topic during the Raw thread over on Yes, and I believe the exact word that I used to describe Dana at the end of that was, I like her look, but God, she is so clunky in the ring.
That's it. I couldn't find a word to describe her, but I could tell she just does not look like she belongs in the ring. She moves very, like she doesn't know what she's doing.
Yep.
Tony, do you want to put the cruiserweight? Oh, go ahead.
Well, just I haven't been a fan of her since she showed up, and when she turned, I just didn't see anyone caring. This match did not help her case. I mean, I feel bad because at the end of the day, she is a person, she is a wrestler, she's trying. You know, she was given a role much too early, and she did what she could with it. But now what? You know, chances are she's going to disappear and or become a non-factor pretty soon, you know, facing people just to give them a win.
She's going to turn into Alicia Fox is what she's going to do, which means she's going to pretty much take over 205 Live.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of 205 Live, do you want to go into the cruiserweight here, or do you want to talk about our main event here?
It doesn't matter.
Let's do the main event here, and then we'll focus on the cruiserweights last. Main event, Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman 2, which I thought was A, dumb for doing it on Raw, and B, dumber for having the end that it had. I understand the desire to want to protect everybody involved here. You don't want to put another pinfall loss on Strowman. You don't want to have Reigns lose to Strowman, get ready to face The Undertaker. You needed to give Taker something to do on this show as well to keep him in everybody's mind as well, but if this was the way they were going to go about this, why not just have them get into a brawl without actually calling it a match, Tony?
Well, because The Undertaker is The Undertaker. And, you know, look, I'm a huge fan of The Undertaker. That's the guy that I grew up with. That's the guy that I'm always, you know, a fan of. But, I mean, come on. Braun has been one of the better things on the roster. He's been amazing. He's been consistent. He has shown so much growth as a performer. You can't give him a little more credit than what you gave him tonight. You know, like, why? You know, and I'm not super upset about it. It's just a matter of, like, I think he deserves a little bit more than what he got tonight. And what he got tonight was basically, you're a non-factor in this match. I'm the Undertaker. I'm going to choke slam you. Oh, shit, I forgot. Reigns is right there. Boom, spear. Get up. I'm really old. This is going to take a while. Give me a minute. And then, you know, I don't know, it's just a weird, this match is extremely forced, and I think it's showing. You know, I think more people would sign on to Braun versus, well, I can't, no, that's a dumb statement, because people want to see this. They want to see Reigns versus Taker, just because I don't, you know, but still at the same time, I don't know, there's just, tonight wasn't a direction.
Tony, you were about to say you'd rather see Strowman Taker, weren't you?
I would rather see Taker take on John Cena, to be honest with you. And I don't like Cena, but seems like a better option.
Between Roman and Strowman at this point, Strowman's looking like the lesser of two evils. And if you recall, back around, I don't know, I want to say SummerSlam-ish, it was rumored that it was going to be Taker and Strowman at WrestleMania. And all of us were like, no, what the fuck, why? And now all of us are like, why are we doing that match, Rick?
I just don't want them to add Strowman to have a triple threat match with The Undertaker. This is Strowman versus Roman. That would be good.
And it does seem to be the growing trend for WrestleMania this year. Let's add another person last minute because that's what we do.
I have to say that it did kind of throw me off where Undertaker did kind of realize he screwed up by chokeslamming Strowman and taking his eyes off of Roman Reigns there. He made the little oh fuck face and turned around and hit with the
that
spear.
That little sense of realism was pretty cool.
I can't find myself getting interested in Taker and Roman, and I find myself even less interested if Roman wins.
I'm going to be pretty upset if that happens because it does nothing for anyone. Stop trying to make Roman happen, okay? Basically, if you want it to happen, let it happen because it's not going to work this way.
All right, so Jason used to call into the show on a pretty regular basis, and I happen to know for a fact he's listening right now, and this is something that he and I have discussed. We talked about the fact that Taker wins and then Strowman beats his ass after the match, a full-on heel turn, like lays him out and Taker has to get stretchered out of the arena. What were your guys' thoughts on that, B?
On the what? Who got beat up?
Taker getting laid out by Roman after Roman loses.
Oh. I mean, I guess that's fine. What are they doing with Reigns? Are they turning him heel in that scenario? Or?
Yeah, Yes, they're turning Roman heel in this scenario.
Okay. I suppose. I don't know.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, you don't want to hear my thoughts. Y'all would hate what I don't want this to happen, but I could see it happening. I think Brock beats Goldberg for the Universal Championship because Goldberg is done after this run. And then Roman beats Taker, and now the only two men to ever beat Undertaker at WrestleMania are going to fight each other for the Universal Championship, Roman versus Brock. Dun, dun, dun.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all, frankly. And at the same time, I want something big to happen with the title on the night after Mania Raw. I want to see Brock get overconfident after he beats Goldberg at the night after Mania, and somebody comes back and shocks the world the night after Mania. And what I would love for to happen would be for that person to be Finn Balor.
That would be amazing.
We all know Vince's thoughts on stuff like that. Little man, no beat big man. All right, let's talk about the cruiserweights. We're going to give Kendrick and TJ Perkins exactly as much time as the WWE did tonight, and now we're moving on to the other cruiserweight match. No. Sonny?
Yep.
3 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
What the fuck are they supposed to do with 3 minutes?
Pull each other's hair?
Yeah, that's apparently the thing you do in a cruiserweight match. I don't know. I was pretty upset with the entirety of cruiserweights tonight. It's Austin Aries can work magic, but not if you don't even give him a stage. It's going to be continuously hard to care about these people if you don't care about them either.
Rick, your thoughts?
I had a Cajun Corner about 2 weeks ago talking about how I think they finally figured out the cruiserweights. They've been giving them time lately, and they've been giving them characters and storylines and, kind of making them interesting now, where at first it was just like, here's a bunch of small people that can do flips. Watch them. And I was impressed that, the cruiserweight division might actually be something to watch now. And then they go ahead and kind of take 2 steps back after making a lot of progress lately. So I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think what bothers me the most is that the characters that they do have are starting to become rather stale or stupid. Take TJ Perkins tonight, for example. I mean, how long did he stare at the ref before he, realized that someone was pulling his hair? And then you have Kendrick basically breaking the law. Stealing someone's passport. I mean, these are not, this is the work of dumb people. So because they weigh less, they're not as bright. They deserve better. On that same token, though, Aries' promo was pretty damn stellar.
We will talk about the Aries promo here, but since you mentioned that, I did want to talk about the Kendrick passport thing there. Do police not watch episodes of Monday Night Raw? Are we supposed to just believe that he's going to legally passport jack somebody? I get the whole suspension of disbelief stuff. I get the whole suspension of disbelief thing here, but come on, we're not that fucking stupid, are we?
We got a WrestleMania main event being built around Orson. Come on now.
the cops are too busy yelling at AJ Styles to get out on SmackDown. I don't know why. I don't know if you saw that, Harry, but that really bothered me. Get out. Get out now. Get out. Shut up. You're cops.
Unfortunately, I did not see SmackDown. I was sleeping through SmackDown due to the fact that I spent most of Tuesday in the emergency room.
Well, when you get there, you let me know. Not the emergency room. When you watch SmackDown.
I'll let you know. Actually, we haven't discussed anything else in SmackDown here. So do you have any other thoughts from SmackDown real quick before we close up with the Aries Tony Nese match?
I'm not done with the episode quite yet, so not really. So far what I've seen is, you know, it's pretty good. I like it. SmackDown's a consistently good show. There's a few minor things wrong with it, but...
People are complaining about the lack of in-ring content on SmackDown the last couple of weeks. I'm saying this time of the year it's par for the course. Where do you side on that, Tony?
Well, yeah, you don't want anyone to get hurt. And, I mean, as wrestling-centric as SmackDown is, these people do need to learn how to embellish their character. Some people need more mic time than they need ring time, to be honest with you.
I think some of the people that they want in their mid-card over on SmackDown are coming along quite nicely there. I'm actually really looking forward to that Ambrose-Corbin match, and we'll talk about that in more detail next week. Rick, what's standing out most about SmackDown to you right now as we get ready to head into our push for WrestleMania?
Well, I was going to say, I like Baron Ambrose, too. It was the first time I saw someone use another human being as a weapon. That was awesome when he threw a security guard at Dean Ambrose. It's like, who throws a person at another person?
It reminds me of that. I know that I'm not the hippest person, Tony. Like, I'm closer to hip replacement than hip. Trademark Jerry the King Lawler, but it reminds me of the old Facebook meme, when you're so mad you want to beat a motherfucker with another motherfucker. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
I figured that'd be good for a quick pop from Tony. Alright, Austin Aries, Tony Nese. Actually, probably in my opinion, the best match on tonight's show right here. Aries is looking good in his return to the ring, specifically inside of the WWE for the first time, and him and Tony Nese had a pretty good match on 205 Live a couple of weeks ago, so not surprising that they had a pretty good match tonight on Raw as well. Buy or sell, Austin Aries is a threat to Neville's Cruiserweight title, Tony?
Yeah, he totally is, and he's probably going to win. I mean, this is a story that I think they've been wanting to tell for a while. Although it hasn't been on the top, you know, of the show, it's been building for a while, and Neville has done great in his role. And I think they want to give Aries a little bit more time to shine. So,
Brick, same question.
Yeah, I buy that. I think Austin Aries is the guy to go with. I think Neville did a great job as champion with the division. I think he's a good person to build the division around. But I think it's time that he gets dethroned by my man Austin Aries. Yeah, that finishing sequence tonight against Tony Nese was awesome, too. I love Mr. Austin Aries.
So with him wrestling cruiserweights, I really wish they'd just let him use the brainbuster. I mean, there's a way to do that. The way that Aries does that move and is able to protect it, I think he would be fine hitting that, too. In addition, I'd like to see him bust up the 450 in the WWE as well. Maybe they're saving that for WrestleMania. We'll see what happens. All right, gentlemen, I do believe that is going to wrap it up for us here. Are we ready for some final reactions?
Yes.
All right, Tony, I know you got a split, so I'll start with you. Favorite match or moment in tonight's episode of Raw?
I'm going to give it to the opener. I will say, and I will say this every week that he's on the show, Tony Nese is amazing. It's not just because we share the same name. I really, really like that guy.
The least favorite match or moment?
Let me see. I don't know. I'll go with Stephanie just being Stephanie.
You could pretty much copy and paste that verbatim every week, Tony.
Pretty much. I mean, usually there's things worse. You know, no Titus O'Neil. And, you know, just for those that were questioning whether or not they would show up, the New Day was here this week. And for the first time in a long time, I really, really wish that Xavier Woods and myself were on the same page.
Real quick, back. I'm going to go ahead and ignore that and go back to one of the previous things you said there. As for the show tonight, this is from my raw preview. As from the show tonight, Reigns Strowman 2 is announced. Jericho will introduce us to the real Kevin Owens in the highlight reel, and Stephanie will likely annoy the hell out of everyone. We'll break down everything that happens, except maybe Titus O'Neil stuff, as we take you one step closer to WrestleMania. It's like they knew that I made fun of Titus O'Neil in my preview and intentionally didn't put him on the show. All right. Yeah. Enough self-plugging. What's your overall score for tonight's episode of Raw?
I'm going to give it like a 6. I mean, things did advance, but the things that advanced, either I didn't want them to or it just came off really badly. So, yeah, we had WrestleMania implications, but they were just kind of done in, you know, not the smartest or most entertaining way.
Who's your MVP tonight?
I don't know. I'll give it to Sammy and Joe. Really good match.
All right, hit your line so you can get out of here and be with the girl.
All right, guys. Deuces, bitches.
We'll talk to Tony next week when we do our preview for WrestleMania. Rick, let's get into your final reaction. Favorite match or moment tonight?
I agree with Tony. My favorite match was Joe and Sami Zayn.
Least favorite match or moment?
I'm going to say Dana Brooke and Charlotte. It was a match. It didn't need to happen. And I don't think Dana is there yet to be wrestling on that on such a big stage. I really do think that she forgot some of the spots at the end of the match. I don't know. I haven't really seen Charlotte win too many matches with just a boot. I've seen her win with a spear or natural selection, or, of course, the figure eight, but not just a big boot like that. It looked like they're just trying to get out of the match towards the end because I think Dana forgot what was going on.
Yeah, I think there was at least another minute or two of that match that got clipped off because Dana went here in the headlights. All right. How about your overall skill rating for tonight, Rick?
I'm going to go a little bit lower than Tony did and give it a 5. This is a little average show right there, 5 out of 10. I don't like the way they book the champions, especially the tag team champions. That is just horrible because they just look like idiots now. And I don't like the way they have Bayley looking. They had, some pretty good matches, but besides that, it's WrestleMania season. They had a lot of video packages to promote WrestleMania, but I want to see more live action on, I tune into Raw to watch Raw, not to watch recaps of stuff I've already seen, because, I watch every episode of Raw already.
Who's your MVP tonight?
I'd like to give it to Joe and Sam because they had the best match of the night, and I'd really focus on Joe. Not that Sammy, they both were responsible for the matches, but just in general, Joe's just been on fire. He's just a real treat to watch. So I'm gonna go ahead and give my MVP to Samoa Joe.
All right, flip the script, Rick.
All right, so what was your favorite match or moment?
I'm actually going to disagree with you guys on favorite match. As good as Joe and Sammy was, you kind of expect that from those two. I'm going to give my favorite match of the evening to Austin Aries and Tony Nese. I thought they told a really good story in the time that they were allotted.
And your least favorite match or moment?
I'm going to agree with you and say Charlotte and Dana. I have been the longest-running proponent of Dana Brooke on this show. As of tonight, that ends. I wish her well in her future endeavors because I don't think this wrestling thing is for her.
Your overall show rating?
Agree with you again. I'm going to go with a 5. Just a little bit lower than Tony here, but on the basis of the two really good matches and the Triple H promo that set up everything with Seth Rollins, I think that there was enough good tonight to justify sitting through the 3 hours to watch the full show. Granted, if you have the ability to fast forward through it, to watch it a little bit quicker, to skip some of the meandering and some of the stuff that you really don't need to see, such as that tag team handicap match, then by all means go for it. But there was enough on tonight's show to keep me entertained at least.
What is the MVP?
I'm going to go the opposite of what you did here, though. I'm going to give it to Sami Zayn because this is the first time we've ever seen Sami Zayn show any real semblance of character on this show. And I think it's long overdue, especially with the fact that the rumors are that they're going to be moving Sammy out of the upper card on Monday Night Raw. And I think that that would be a tremendous mistake, because there are very few legitimate upper card babyfaces on Raw right now, and Sammy could be the guy that is there, that is on the level of a Samoa Joe, of a Kevin Owens, of a, I mean, maybe not necessarily a Braun Strowman, although he was portrayed as pretty much Strowman's equal for part of the feud that they had against each other there, on that same level as Roman Reigns there. My concern is that when Seth Rollins does come back full-time, when Finn Balor does get cleared to return, and especially now that the title is in the camp of either Goldberg or Brock Lesnar, where does that leave Sami Zayn on Raw? For tonight, though, I'm going to give him my MVP for his performance on this episode.
Yeah, we almost missed an entire year, wrestling year, between this brand split without having any trades between the two brands. And, you know, they did say trades were going to be part of the split, so I wonder if we could see Sami Zayn move over to the blue brand, where he might be, have more to do over there.
And you know what, I think that that's the reason that they're not doing that whole you're fired, those whole fired angles on SmackDown, on Raw and SmackDown with the talent there, because what's to stop them from just showing up on an episode of Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, depending on which brand they were on, too. The only person that we've seen switch brands is no longer with the company. Do you remember who I'm referring to?
Who are you referring to?
Jack Swagger. His Raw contract expired. He showed up on SmackDown, feuded with Baron Corbin for like a hot minute, and then quietly disappeared into the background once again.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, pretty much like Creative forgot about Swagger himself. For my preview, this is your reminder that we will not be focusing on Raw next week. Instead, it will be the third annual Raw Reaction WrestleMania Preview Spectacular. All of us will be there, and we may have a special guest or two. One of those special guests may or may not have shown up a little bit early to the party tonight.
Hopefully he has a better phone.
So it's definitely... yeah, his phone connection tonight wasn't the greatest. But yeah, I am encouraging any of our longtime listeners to the show, people that have called in before, we want your predictions next Monday night. 914-803-4532. We won't be discussing Raw. We will just be taking WrestleMania predictions. We hope to get as many people's predictions on the air throughout the course of that show while Tony, Rick, and I break down the matches themselves as well. So, Rick, anything else to add here, or are we done?
I'm done.
All right, you go spend some time with that wife of yours. I'm going to go because I got an early morning looking at me tomorrow. So, for the third man, Rick Balin, for the Down Since Day One co-host, Tony Acero, I'm Harry Broadhurst. This has been the March 20th, 2017 edition of the Raw Reaction. We will see you next Monday night for our WrestleMania preview. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next Monday. And in 2 weeks, it's the night after Mania. You know some shit's going to go down there. Talk to you later, everyone.
I don't want bitches.
If you're still listening live, we here at the Raw Reaction like to send our best thoughts and prayers out to Chris Bryan, a.k.a. Chandler Biggins, co-owner of Absolute Intense Wrestling based out of Cleveland, Ohio. Our thoughts and our well wishes are with you as you fight through this Fight Biggins fight. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next Monday.